Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hello. Thanks for joining the program today. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Today's topic is about when the universe narrows down your choices. It's about those times when the universe says, hold on a minute, and you think, uh-oh, what now? And things are not like you thought they were going to be. And those choices you thought you had are not really your choices anymore. And it seems like you have less control over stuff than you thought. All right, so this happens quite a lot, doesn't it? I know it does to me. And today I want to make two major points about this. I mean, first, we'll talk about what might be happening when you think you have, you know, time and more choices, but you don't. You see it as a big mystery, a big, what the heck is going on? And the answer to that question, it's more obvious than you think. The universe is narrowing down your choices, and it's more obvious as to why it's happening than you're willing to see. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about what to do when your options are narrowed down. What can you do about that? And how having a core purpose, something that centers and refocuses you, can really help to navigate better. But before we get into either of those points, I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about change. Change with a capital C, H-A-N-G-E, change. Yes, I'd like to say that, you know, change is something that we can really kind of move through pretty easily. But frankly, we humans, we have like this love-hate relationship with change. I mean, even when we want change, we're still uneasy about it. I've been working with people who are dealing with change, and it's been a cornerstone of my career consulting work for more than two decades. I've been supporting people making changes. Either they are making those changes by choice because they're feeling pulled to take a step in a new direction, or because they have no choice when their employers are laying them off. Now, I've seen a wide variety of reactions by people who are dealing with change. Even those of us with larger than normal senses of adventure, I mean, we crave stability too at some level. That's because we're biologically and socially wired to want to fit in, belong, create a sense of predictability and routine. It's related to survival instinct developed over millennia, and it's related too also to our drive to procreate and need to provide children, you know, that nuclear family, that sense of security, structure, and safety. So, you know, change is tough. Change is disruptive. It's true. And yet, with change comes this potential for personal growth, doesn't it? How does the old saying, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got? I mean, we know this kind of at our core, our sense of being in our bones. We know this. But, you know, having a sense of dissatisfaction that grows and grows until it's unbearable to live with, you know, that's what we think. Change is a must, but do we always make the change even though we're feeling that growing sense of dissatisfaction? It's the balance of pain and compensation. You know, imagine a scale, you know, like the scale of justice. And on one side is pain, and the other side is compensation. And when it comes to career, it often is literally compensation. It's money. But let's just say that compensation is anything that you feel that gives you a sense of the pain or the discomfort that it's worth it. You think that the payoff, it's a payoff for staying where you are, and whatever your situation is, it's stronger, the pull is stronger versus making a change to change that pain. Most of us won't make a change, this is what I've seen, unless the pain gets so strong, it's just strong enough to tip the scale and make it worth the payoff to make the change. This goes for jobs, relationships, and pretty much anything we encounter in life. And what makes it interesting, I think, what I've observed, is that even though most of us do what we can to, you know, move through life and do our thing, we really do our best to try to tame it. We try to tame the universe we're living in. And the truth is, nothing is truly still. Everything is changing. Do you know how fast the Earth is moving in space and with us on it, on Earth? I mean, I looked it up. As far as just the rotation itself, the surface of the Earth at the equator moves at about 1,000 miles per hour. But orbiting around the sun, oh, that's about 67,000 miles an hour. See, we are never still. We may think we are, we feel like we are, but we're not still even on planet Earth. And really, if you think about it, what would we be if we weren't moving constantly? Stagnation is usually considered unpleasant. Still waters that stagnate become overpopulated with bacteria and algae, and they tend to become unpleasant, stinky places. So, yes, change can be undesirable because it's uncomfortable. But the pain of not changing your circumstances can be uncomfortable too, even dangerous. And that leads me to my first major point that I wanted to make today about what's going on? What's going on when the universe narrows down your choices? Now, what I'm going to say here requires you to be with me on something important. We need to agree on the premise that you are co-creating your life with the universe, or whatever you prefer to call the co-creating force in your life. Some like to call it God. Like, you know, there are many other names for it, the field of intention, the source, invisible substance, and so on. For my purposes here, though, I'm going to call this omnipresent, omniscient, co-creating force the universe, which contains both measured and unmeasured, as of yet, phenomena that we interact with on the plane of thought and matter and space and time. And so this is where we are, and this is where we co-create what's going on with us. So anyway, on that premise, let's use an easy example. Let's just say that you've been thinking, and we're going to use a career example. I really want a new job. This one is going nowhere, and I'm not finding it challenging anymore. You have a little discomfort. Not a lot, just enough that it's a nagging voice in the back of your mind telling you that you ought to make a change. Things happen at work with increasing frequency. They make you think more and more about making a change. Maybe the boss is grumpy and takes it out on the team, and you let that go. Maybe they create a new policy that doesn't make sense, and it's restrictive enough that there's some culture shock in your organization because of it. Morale is affected, and you let that go. The increasing volume of that nagging voice just isn't enough yet to make you move forward toward making a change. The scale of pain and compensation is still tipped in favor of compensation. Now, what does it take for your scale to tip over so that the pain is enough to cause you to make the change? Now, here's my experience. Some people I've worked with put up with a lot and never make the change on their own. So they keep coming to me and they even tell me, I think I need to make a change, but really they're not ready yet. And then, for some of them, the change is made for them. Yep, that's right, the change is made for them. They wanted the change, but they didn't act on it. And so finally, after ignoring many messages from the universe that the change is a warranted desire, it's a warranted action, the universe makes it happen. I mean, they didn't, so the universe stepped in, somehow influenced it. In my experience, when it comes to a job, this usually looks like a company layoff. Now, sometimes we can, of course, debate this. We could go into it and say maybe because they were dissatisfied, they attracted negative attention, and so therefore their manager thought maybe they'd be unhappy and they were maybe making a nuisance of themselves, not even realizing they were. So when it came down to it, when you're looking at the ledger sheet and deciding labor costs are so expensive and you need to cut someone, you're going to cut the grumpy, unhappy person. Okay, I'm going to give you that. That is so true. It happens. Doesn't matter. The point is that there has been an internal thing going on creating a desire to shift. And the shift happens. So how that gets there, I don't know. Sometimes the universe does it for you. Sometimes it is something that you have done unconsciously. Now, on the other hand, some of the people I've supported through these kinds of transitions, they get super wrapped up in the unfairness of the change. And so it depends on how aware they are. They may be unhappy about it. They may think it's unfair. Maybe they didn't even have those thoughts that they needed to move on because they were pretty happy doing what they were doing. Or maybe they weren't paying attention to the signs that a change was coming, whether they wanted it or not. So things were happening in the company, but they turned a blind eye to it. Now, frankly, this is usually the case. maybe they don't know what's going on behind the scenes, or maybe they've seen kind of some signs, but they haven't been able to figure out what those are. It's the proverbial blind spot, right? When you can see the obvious, can't see the obvious because you're too busy seeing what you want to see that fits your view, your desires, your preferences, et cetera. Oh, my goodness, I speak of this from personal experience. Anyway, it happens. I see this all the time. Most people are not happy about this change, and they're sort of freaking out. Now, I do have, on occasion, people that I work with that are going through, if we want to continue on this track of career transition as our metaphor, that, you know, they're embracing the change that's forced on them. They are saying things like, well, I could see the writing on the wall, but I chose to stick it out just in case. Or, I knew I needed to move on some time back, but I was just too comfortable there to make the change. One client I worked with who had a 17-year career as an engineer told me he dreamed of making a career change for 10 years. So for a decade, he read books, he attended seminars about becoming an entrepreneur, but he never made the move because he was just so comfortable in his job. I mean, it wasn't the pain and compensation. The compensation was still too strong for him to move forward. Now, that is until he got laid off, and then he gave it serious thought. And today, he owns not one, but two successful businesses, and he's making more money than he ever dreamed of making as an engineer. So, yeah, I'd say the universe stepped in this case. But I have to say, there's one thing I have to admit that I haven't figured out about all this. And, of course, this is a sideline, but it's worthy of mentioning. And I think it'll always be a mystery to me because it simply comes down to what do you believe. And it's a what came first, the chicken or the egg kind of dilemma. And the question in my mind is, do you generate the thought, I need to make a change? Or does the universe generate the thought, putting it into your mind as a way to prompt you to make the change that is in your best interest? Now, again, that's just a matter of what you believe. Do you have a predetermined plan for your life that you've contracted with the universe to help you carry it out? It's a job. It's the universe's job to keep you on track when you forget or you resist getting it done. Or do you have more free will than that? I suspect it might be both, and it depends on the circumstances. But really, that is a debate we could have all day and probably still not decide the answer. The bottom line is that change is inevitable, and the universe will narrow your choices to make those changes, either because you've asked for it or because it was scheduled. Doesn't matter. You're just going to have to comply. But like I said before, sometimes the change doesn't make sense. You have not had some nagging feeling, and you certainly don't think you've sent out some desire that the universe is holding you to. And we're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about when your options are narrowed down in that case, and you don't know why, just like I just said. And you clearly have to accept it. You have to live with it. And you have to do whatever you can from that point onward. And, well, frankly, you can either fuss and have a tantrum about it, or you can go with the flow and make, you know, lemonade out of lemons. Or I like to say margaritas out of limes. But we're going to talk about all that after the break. Let's take this as a breather, and I'll be back with you in just a few minutes. That's what that song is called. Thanks to Jeff Harvey and Chris Martin of Purple Planet for that. Nice. Okay, so we're talking about when the universe narrows down your choice. I'm Angela Loeb, your host, and thanks for staying with me. We've already talked a lot about how change is inevitable. We've talked about how the universe will narrow down your choices on your behalf, whether you want it to or not, forcing you into change. Maybe you've asked for it consciously or unconsciously. And we explored the possibility that your major life's events could be predetermined so that the universe narrows down your choices because it's part of an agreement. It's scheduled to happen that way. You might have made plans, but you're not exactly in charge of how it goes down. Just like the wise King Solomon who wrote 3,000 years ago, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So whatever you believe, I mean, there's two simple facts here. And that's one, it happens sometimes. The universe sometimes narrows down your choices. And two, you have control over how you handle it. And in fact, sometimes that's all you have control over. All right, now let's talk about when your options are narrowed down, what you can do about it. And, of course, first, there's the first thing I mentioned, choice over how you handle it. When your life kicks up a little storm, do you hang around being, like, you know, buffeted by the waves, being knocked around by the waves, trying to stay afloat? Or do you take a strategy? Do you plot a plan? Do you try to navigate to a new place, a new destination? Do you kind of regroup and change your plan? Now, some of us stop and have a little temper tantrum. We complain to our friends, get a little sympathy. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as it's just, I think, a temporary reaction. On occasion, it can even be healthy to, you know, commiserate over the bad news on the radio and the television, over what your ex did or didn't do, over what your manager did or didn't do. And we can choose to stamp our feet, you know, fold our arms, and just, declare an angry voice, how dare this happen to me? I mean, the universe is patient with us to a degree, and it lets us rant and rave all right, but I'm thinking this isn't very helpful for the long haul, for very long. I mean, sometimes to get us out of that mode, if we're in it too long, the universe will narrow down the choices even more. It might start to feel like you're in a maze and the walls are moving and your routes are being closed, except, of course, the one right ahead of you. I often talk about this with my sister, Gina, because she's a major inspiration in my life and because she knows exactly how this feels, physically and emotionally, she knows how this feels. Her story is relevant to what we're talking about today. She knows how the universe can narrow down your visible choices, but you still always have a choice. You see, she wanted to be a psychiatric nurse. She wanted to be a doctor initially, but then switched her course and then went toward being a psychiatric nurse. And she even graduated from nursing school several years ago, but a series of health problems, most notably she has a neurological disorder that's led her to have partial paralysis, palsy-like tremors certain times of the month, and her immune system is just really shot. So it changed her plans dramatically. She cannot work in a typical clinical setting. It's just too dangerous for her body. Now, this doesn't mean she's given up on her dream of being a healer. It just means she has had to find another way. I mean, she has found several ways so far. Even though she has limited mobility because of her condition, she uses technology, like voice recognition software, so she can write. She's an artist, and she paints, she sketches, she makes jewelry. She's even become a musician since the onset of her illness. She's taught herself Native American flute, and her music is often described as full of light and healing. And it really is. When you listen to it, it does make you feel light, and it makes you feel healed. She made a CD last year, and she's even performed publicly. She also calls herself a prayer warrior, and she'll pray with and for anyone who asks. She's been at death's door many times over the years, and she's used her struggle and her ability to push through all these setbacks, and she inspires people. I mean, a pastor at a local church has invited her to come and speak to his congregation, and she's often welcome there, and she's definitely helping people heal emotionally. She tells me stories, and, you know, it's kind of funny because I don't think she sees it as often as I do because I'm objective. I know what her original goal is, and I see what she's doing. It just isn't in the way she had originally planned. So my sister Gina, she epitomizes that famous comment you've probably heard by Joseph Campbell. He said, "You must give up the life you planned in order to have the life that is waiting for you." And gosh, I seem to be quoting that to myself a lot. And she and I have talked about this a lot, about going through something and doing what you can with what you have, where you are. Just do your work in the world however you can. And at the end of the day, the question is, what is your core purpose for being alive? And are you fulfilling it, even if it's not in the way you thought you would? Basically, I guess you could say that I'd rather take the George Bernard Shaw approach to life. He said, "I don't believe in circumstances. The people who get on in this world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want, and if they can't find them, make them." I love that, especially that he says, "You can't find them, you make them." You might recognize this as the philosophy that says, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade. Yep, that's it, all right. So the number one way that I would handle the narrowed down options is not to give up, but figure out a different way to do it. So have yourself a little hissy fit. It's okay. But don't stay there very long. Stop and look at what options are left, and rather than bemoan the fact that, you know, you don't have this or you don't have that, get busy working on what you do have, where you can start from where you are. If your talent is healing, then heal. If your talent is for writing, then write. If your talent is for numbers, then crunch or calculate or whatever. Think about it. Why do we have that dreadful saying, there's more than one way to skin a cat? Because it's just the truth. And, okay, well, here's a more pleasant one. Where there's a will, there's a way. So having a core purpose, something that centers and refocuses you, can help you navigate better. And, okay, this final point that I want to make before we conclude today, it's about your choice and the attitude. And you can see this is a common thread running through my program today. So going back to what I said earlier about this tantrum bit, it's all in the way you choose to look at things. Frankly, change equals adventure. I've come to realize that even unwanted changes like job loss, relationship endings, and failing health, they present opportunities to move us forward out of stagnation and into being conscious of the flow of life, of your life. Everything I go through can be a big, huge, scary adventure, or it can be a cool, life-affirming adventure. How I see, how I experience it is totally 100% up to me. As my little world changes, will I fight it and resist the current? I mean, the more I do, it's amazing how much more dramatic the change becomes. The dramatic fallout from the friction increases proportionately to the resistance I offer. You know, we're taught by the masters to sit still and contemplate, meditate, pray. I mean, what I've learned is that stillness does not only happen when the body is physically motionless, because I can feel stillness even when engaged in my daily tasks. Being still is truly about stilling the urge to fight the stream of the ever-moving current. I'm in that ever-moving current whether I want to be or not. It's just the way life is. So here's the thing. Being in stillness can happen. Being in calmness, accepting the adventure and moving through with it. It just, when you align to the directional flow, it's so much easier. And make a note of this because it's important. Life is like an adventurous river ride, and it has changing scenes all around. It can be fun-filled, pleasant. You can have time to enjoy the scenery if you look around, or it can be an exhausting, harrowing trip down the rapids. It's up to you. What will you choose? So my advice is that when the universe narrows down your choices, be still and pay attention. You'll be amazed at what you find out. Well, that's all we have time for today. Whew, that was some deep stuff. But please join me on August 2nd for something a little bit lighter. It'll be less philosophy and more action-oriented. I have some real good advice for you. So I'm calling the program Getting What You Desire, and I'll be telling you about what I call the Desire Tool, which is designed to help you take stock and get unblock, get what you want in life. When you know what's standing in your way, you can make conscious choice to remove it, if you will. So lots of action in next program. Before I go, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I'd also like to thank Doom Dance and Purple Planet for our music today. So be sure to check out the webpage with the description of today's program. You'll see links to these musicians' websites as well as to a few other resources about today's program. So if you're interested in my books, courses, other programs, you'll find those links at angelaloeb.com. That's AngelaLoeb.com. You can send me an email through the site if you'd like. You can connect with me on social media through the site if you'd like. Feel free to reach out. And please join me every first and third Sunday here on Be Radiant Radio, where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. Until next time, be still, pay attention, embrace the adventure, and hey, shine on.